Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey, it's Danielle, Will, and Ryder from Pod Meets World. Thanks to our friends at Hyundai, we were able to record a very special episode for you guys at the one and only, wait for it,
Boy Meets World House.
Take a listen.
Are there any moments or spots on any of the sets we worked on over the 7 years that you guys felt more at home, that were like your little spots on the set you like to hang out?
I'm afraid it was the sink.
Oh, really? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You had to act by the sink a lot.
Yeah.
I was behind the counter.
Yeah.
Right. Doing business constantly.
Uh-huh.
Mom stuff.
Uh-huh. Disciplining you in some way.
This has been brought to you by the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5. New episode out now. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 15, episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
For January 25th, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, aka Bojack Yellow, courtesy of Dale Chaplin, and I am joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
That's right. Hi, it's me, Miles. Hey, why don't we just go eat some hay or make things out of clay, lay by the bay? I just may. Woody Gray. Thank you so much, because I'm pretty sure that's a Happy Gilmore deep cut.
Yeah.
And that is from Blaxative. So thank you at Blaxative. Ooh. Keeping it laxative, but for black people. I don't know. However you want to market that.
Blaxative could also be an AKA for me. Sort of a Jacksative.
Oh.
Anyways.
Cool.
Well, this has been fun. We are thrilled to be joined on our third seat by the co-host of Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane, and the hilarious stand-up comedian Dave Stone.
What's up, guys?
What's
How
up, Dave?
How you doing?
Good.
I'm great. I'm excited to have you here.
Are you living in a van?
Your stand-up.
Yeah, I'm still in the van.
You are in the van?
Yeah, it's pretty cool, dude. Thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah. No, I just had to, you know, that was one of my favorite bits. You guys have to, if I was ignorant as to your, how talented you are.
Oh.
And it was, man, I fucking was cracking up.
Well, thank you. It's been on again, off again residence for ever since I moved to LA 6 years ago. I was in it for a couple of years, and I got out for a couple of years. Now I'm back because show business is wishy-washy.
Yeah.
You can't count on anything. So.
Dave, what's something from your search history that is revealing about who you are as a human being?
Oh, search history. I don't know. This week, if you looked at it, you might see how to skin a deer.
Mm.
I've just been very curious on how to kill and skin animals.
Yeah.
Just
cool.
Well, I'm just with the current political climate, I'm preparing for the worst.
Right.
So,
to be catching your own food,
yeah,
making your own buckskin clothing.
Yeah, you know, I'm already halfway there with the van, so I'm already halfway off the grid. So, you know, if need be, I need to know how to kill animals and skin them and eat them, you know.
Yeah.
Is skinning a deer easy?
It appears to be so. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's a bit gruesome.
Yeah. Just rip the fucking skin off.
Yeah.
Right?
It doesn't take a genius to figure it out. But yeah, there's techniques. You gotta hang it the right way, and you gotta make the incisions and the.
Oh, and then you can just kind of peel it off.
Yeah. I won't bore you with the details, but yeah.
It's also a good thing to Google while like making eye contact with somebody over the top of your phone. How to skin an animal. What's something you think is overrated?
Oh man, I just saw Lady Bird.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not to get all, you know, too judgmental about the Oscars, but like, I don't know. Best Picture.
Right.
I think of Best Picture. I think of just this grand, epic film not just, oh, white girls having growing pains.
Yeah, it's weird because, yeah, you're not the first person to come in saying Lady Bird was overrated. Like, everyone has the same thing. Like, I'm not saying it's a bad movie.
Yeah, it wasn't
by
bad. And I loved Laurie Metcalf. She was great. Mm-hmm. But just best picture, I think, Schindler's List, Godfather. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, nothing really even, not to give spoilers, but, like, there was not even a huge major conflict that you could get behind. It was just like, oh, well, okay.
Spoiler alert, nothing happens. I do feel like they, it's a good, you feel like that's a real high school community. I don't know. You feel, it feels lived in.
But what do you think about the Oscars? We were talking about this with the nominations coming out, that sometimes, like, actual films that deserve to be in the Best Picture categories don't often get nominated because sometimes we feel that, like, the Oscars have to celebrate, like, the most grand feats of filmmaking. If something was just a really great, solid movie, that it can be in that consideration, or you're just sort of more of the idea of, like, these have to be feats of, like, real cinema, real filmmaking.
I mean, I just think, you know, I mean, it's simple to say, but just the best movies, you know, regardless. Right. I feel like there is an agenda with the Oscars as far as, like, what's your movie about, or what, you know, what cause does it promote?
Right.
And all that's fine as far as, like, you know, themes and stuff like that. But I feel like some movies, some lesser movies, because they have a good theme, you know, they probably get the nod as opposed to another movie. I don't know. Like war movies. I know Dunkirk got nominated, but a lot of times war movies don't get, you know, because it's a little right leaning or it's a little aggro or whatever. But I don't know. I feel like theme sometimes seems to be a little more important than the actual quality of the film.
Gotcha.
So, but I can't give you an example of a movie that didn't get nominated this year that I thought it should, but I don't know. I just miss the days of, like, oh, man, that was a friggin' movie.
Right.
Not just, oh, here's a quirky little – and I love indie films slice of life stuff. But, like, sometimes I just, oh, really? Best picture of that?
Right.
So the year that Forrest Gump, Pulp Fiction, and Shawshank Redemption all came out, they were all nominated. Who do you think should have won between those three?
Oh, man. That's a tough one. I can't even remember who did win. Did Forrest Gump win?
Forrest Gump won.
Yeah.
And I feel like Forrest Gump has that, like, big – sprawling
mass appeal.
Yeah, exactly. And it felt like, wow, that's one that in the theater you're like, man, that I just had an experience.
Yeah, that was definitely, that would qualify under, like, well, that's an epic movie.
But Pulp Fiction changed the game for years to come.
True.
And then Shawshank might be the most, like, rewatchable movie of all time. So it's tough. Those are all I think that's a good Oscar race to kind of look back on, figure out where you stand just on cinema in general.
I mean, I loved – Pulp Fiction changed the game for me too.
Yeah,
as far as
too.
Like it kind of – and it's probably a common thought, but like it kind of introduced me to indie film,
you know,
to independent film as far as – you know, even though it was nominated for an Oscar, it's still just the way it was made and
– Yeah.
You know, and just the stylistically, obviously that was kind of a trendsetter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that soundtrack too. It's gospel. You know it's infectious when you remember the interludes on the thing that had like the dialogue on it. I'm like, the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. Quiz Show also came out that year. Also a really great movie.
Brought to you by Geritol.
Yes. All right. And what's something you think is underrated?
Well, sticking with the entertainment theme, it just started season 3, but I don't hear my friends talking about Baskets.
Oh,
Baskets.
So
brilliant.
Yeah.
It is so good. It's so funny.
Yep.
It's so dark. It's got so much heart.
Yeah.
Like, it is really hard to be that funny and to have that much heart.
Yeah.
Usually
absolutely.
Shows or movies that have a lot of heart, like, all right, that's a little hacky. Or,
right.
You know, who gives a shit? But, like, I mean, they're just hitting it. They're just bullseye.
I haven't started season 3 yet, but the first two, I got 3 episodes into the first season. I was like, how is everyone not saying this is one of the greatest shows that's out right now?
Yeah.
I don't know why it. Because it's crazy, like, it's Zach Galifianakis is in it, and you feel like that would be enough for people to really, like, put all the praise on it or attention on it, but I don't know.
But there's, like, a real sadness to it. There's, like, a sadness, and, there's heart to it, where so it's not just, like, him, you know, I think the stuff that he was doing and, like, The Hangover and stuff, like, it also appealed to, like, bros, maybe,
stuff
like that, where Baskets has...
You need a little emotional intelligence.
Yeah, I agree. It's at that weird cross-section where, you know, comedies don't get nominated for awards like we were talking about.
Right.
And this feels like an actual piece of art that, you know.
Especially Louis Anderson.
Oh my God.
That is like the most underrated thing about that show. Like, beyond the show being great, but I feel like even Louis, man, I can't
It's amazing to see.
You totally forget, or I totally forget that that's a dude. But that's Louis just, Anderson.
Yeah, like his vibe.
It's just
so much like the
crazy sweet old grandmother type, like,
who loves Kirkland Signature everything.
Yeah, loves Arby's.
Yep.
Hey, speaking of Oscars, real quick, I just wanted to not to change gears, but I loved Get Out.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a comedy? I know it didn't get nominated for comedy Oscars, but
the whole reason that happened is because the Golden Globes it was nominated for comedy musical, and that's only because studios with the Golden Globes they have the option to submit a film under a specific category. So they clearly saw that the dramatic film category was way too congested. So it's the same thing with The Martian. Do you remember The Martian a few years ago was submitted
that a comedy?
It was nominated as a comedy. I think may have won actually, but yeah, that was like the studio doing that, not the press being like, oh yeah, this is a comedy. And I know like the argument is like it's a very dark satirical look at society, and you can say that. But I mean, personally, I don't view it as like a comedy. It's just like an amazing like thriller.
Well, I get the loophole there, but I've even read reviews where people reference the comedy in it, and I can't even think of it. The only comedic elements I can think of was his buddy who was cat sitting or whatever. You know, he was funny.
Yeah. Right.
But like, there was really nothing funny about that movie.
Yeah, I don't think you walk out of that movie and go, fuck, man, Get Out was the funniest fucking movie I saw.
Yeah. It's Rosemary's Baby. It's not, nobody thought Rosemary's Baby was a comedy. But yeah, it's a complicated cultural text that I think different people have a difficult time figuring out how to react to for various reasons.
Right.
All right. We're trying to take a sample of what people are talking and thinking about right now, the zeitgeist, as it were. And we like to open up by asking our guest, what is a myth? What is something that most people believe to be true that is, in fact, false, based on your experience?
Oh, man, that's a great question. Off the top of my head, just because people are starting to get them right now this time of year, man, not to sound like some tinfoil hat nut job, but flu shots. I think that's a crock.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, I've never had a flu shot as an adult.
Okay.
I guess I had one when I was a kid or whatever. Yeah. You know, you had to. But as an adult, I've been on my own since I was 18. I've never voluntarily went and had a flu shot. Never had the flu.
So
and
I'm not exactly the picture of health either.
And I think my boy, another side of the glass, super producer Nick Stumpf, is also in the camp. No flu.
Right.
Yeah, and just, I mean, and again, I don't want to sound like I'm going off the deep end with some of the conspiracy stuff, but I just don't. I'm not going to voluntarily let the government inject me with some.
Oh, so your opposition is like, I don't want to be voluntarily injected by whatever inoculations the government's trying to give me.
I don't want that, and I don't think I need it.
My whole thing
you don't need it, but you're putting old people and babies at risk. So I married a doctor. I married an old baby, and
she's like, don't put me at risk.
Always getting sick. No, but yeah, so basically this is a doctor's pet peeve because so adults think because they don't get the flu that flu shots don't do anything. And what the flu shot actually does is it protects you from being a carrier of it, and the flu doesn't actually like kill you or sometimes won't even make you sick, but you can pass it on to the elderly and young people.
Well, that makes sense.
So you don't express symptoms.
Right.
It's like herpes.
Right. So that's...
Some people are just lucky. They may be carrying it and they don't even know.
Right.
Well, I guess, look, I don't know. I'm lazy. That's really my excuse. I'm not even like on some like, I ain't letting the fucking man inject me with anything. I'm just sort of like, oh, this is some more shit to do. I don't have time. I'm like,
I view it as being like a anti-vaxxer light. It's like,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So if you're cool with like Jenny McCarthy's politics and
man, don't put me in that fucking bucket.
Well, that's the bucket you're in if you're anti-flu shot. So
okay,
all right.
Well, then you know what?
I mean, my wife does secretly control my mind, and I'm definitely like there's some mind control shit.
Speaking of Get Out,
I know because you keep putting those fluoride drops in your coffee.
Right. That's right. All right. Let's get into the stories of the day. You guys, the doomsday clock gets closer to midnight. It is only 2 minutes away from midnight. It hasn't been this close to midnight since 1953.
The clock is about to strike midnight.
We are all fucked. No, this actually means nothing. This is a art project by a bunch of scientists based on, you know, their opinions on things that they aren't necessarily overly qualified to comment on, such as, you know, global and international relations. Granted, things aren't great. I'm not here to tell you, like, leave Trump alone. He's doing a great job. But this is just a art project. It's a convenient news peg that, you know, the Washington Post can be like, oh, they moved the clock again. Time to rattle off the same story we've been putting out for the past 50 years.
But, where did it start? Mid-doomsday clock thing? Because I always thought, like, I knew it wasn't like a real thing, but for whatever reason, I was like, I guess I have to take it seriously.
It has a lot of cred because it did start with the scientists from the Manhattan Project. So they basically put together this, I think it's like a magazine. It's essentially a publication that talks about, you know, threats to the human species based on nuclear weapons. And now in recent years, they've incorporated climate change.
Drug resistant flu.
Right.
Because of all those flu shots.
Right. They just measure how many people are saying flu shots are a myth and take that into account.
Oh, wait, we just got to update. It is now midnight.
We are all fucked. Like other things, they definitely have an anti-nuclear bias when it comes to, you know, I think nuclear weapons are fine. No. When it comes to nuclear power, like they think that's probably a little bit more dangerous than it actually is in practice. It seems like there's just an anti-nuclear bias on, like, when it comes to this publication. So I don't know.
So are you pro-nuclear everything?
No, I'm not pro-nuclear everything, but I do think, like, there are different stories from history about, like, nuclear power plant meltdowns that were somewhat exaggerated, and I don't know. Like, obviously, Chernobyl, like, it can go really, really badly and has in a few instances.
Chernobyl's a real thing?
Yeah, Chernobyl.
Oh, man, I thought it was that one level in Call of Duty.
Right, yeah.
Damn, that's deep.
Right.
Okay, wow. Yeah. So, yeah, maybe out. Maybe I'll look into this Doomsday Clock. Right. Was it ever in a movie or something, too? Was there, like,
I don't know.
A
it seems like it should be.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm confusing it with Michael Scott's script, Threat Level Midnight, which is probably some form of a derivation on that.
Right. Now, in some news that does seem to be bringing us closer to some form of sci-fi dystopia, there's a Reddit user named Deepfakes who last year started making porn videos that had famous actresses' faces, like, swapped onto the porn actor's body. And he has since created a subreddit where people are sharing these videos, and it's like using algorithmic learning to, you know, swap faces of, you know, actresses onto porn stars. But it seems like the sort of thing that, you know, we've talked before on the show about how pornography generally is, like, at the forefront of technology. And this is probably another instance of that where, yes, the first thing we use this technology for is making pornography with Gal Gadot's face on a porn star's body. But eventually this is going to cause the entire meltdown of society because...
Whoa! Yo, I'm sorry. I did not know what this looked like. So I'm sorry I interjected suddenly.
I did not know. I was like, what the hell just happened, man?
I did not see that this... Yo, they're... This is scary.
It's realistic.
It's very, very subtle. Like, it's not like back in the day when I was looking at Spice Girl fake nudes as a young teenager on Sublime Directory.
Right.
This is like, this is, whoa. Okay, hold on. I don't even know how to show something that, like, doesn't get us all sued.
Right. People can check it out in their own time. We were also watching
like, this is supposed
video.
To be Kristen Bell?
Oh, Jesus.
But, like, that's
it does look like Kristen Bell.
So they're just using, like, celebrity still images.
Right.
And then using these, like, algorithms to just project to face swap them out.
Right.
Wow.
Kind of like they did with Tony Soprano's mom in season 3.
Yeah, but that was terrible.
Yeah it was. Yo, she that looked was... like the conductor on Polar Express. She had, like, those dead eyes. It was like, yo.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. That was so bad. Oh, man, rest in peace.
But yeah, that Kristen Bell video that Miles just showed the room and will eventually be fired for.
Thank you.
Is very realistic looking. And yeah, I mean, there's a video went around, I think, late last year that had Obama saying different things. Like they had audio from Obama saying something when he was like 16 or something, or probably older than that. And then they just like swapped it so that his face as the president was saying that, and it, you know, looked completely realistic. And eventually this is going to change how, like, we won't be able to have videos like the Access Hollywood video of Trump, you know, talking his shit without people being like, oh, it's a fake video.
Well, see, he was saying it was fake. So maybe it's Trump is time traveling.
Well,
he's like, you don't know what I've seen.
His problem was that he didn't say it was fake until a year later. Yeah, right. He spent a year saying it was real. Billy Bush was like, yeah, no, it's real. And then after a year, he was like, you know, that video might have been fake.
He probably saw that Obama video. Right. Like, hey, can I say it's fake now?
And then Billy Bush was like, yo, that was not.
But that's
fake.
Scary. Yeah. If you haven't even seen that, like, they basically have Photoshop for your voice, you know, and like combining that with this kind of machine learning. I mean, I don't want to predict this, but I'm sure at one point there will be some kind of massive hoax that like is very, very troubling, because people are going to, like, this software get very sophisticated and you're going to think you're seeing somebody saying or doing something that they absolutely didn't.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Our writer Sam Raubman quoted an expert from the Electronic Frontiers Foundation who said, you can make fake videos with neural networks today, but people will be able to tell that you've done that if you look closely. And some of the techniques involved remain pretty advanced. So, like, it's hard to do. But that's not going to stay true for more than a year or two. So in a year or two, like, around the next election, there's going to be the ability for everybody. Yeah. Like, you won't need to be an expert.
Right. It's like, look, Bernie's smoking crack.
Yeah. Right.
A lot of explaining to do.
Yes. So.
Hey, but that could work in the other way, too, because people can make wild fucking videos of Trump doing weird shit, too. So, you know, it'll probably just be a very fun smear campaign for everybody.
The difficulty is there probably are wild videos of Trump. Right. Like, for instance, there's supposedly this video out there from the set of The Apprentice where he would just say wildly racist things like during the taping of The Apprentice.
Like the desk parts, in the boardroom and shit?
Yeah, in the boardroom, just between shots. And those audio tapes exist somewhere. But by the time they get released, he'll be able to be like, those are fake. Not me.
It'll be
fake news.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies, so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
Zach Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone. Transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system. Or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. And you guys, I've been binging for the past couple of days.
On heroin.
And I am just feeling great, actually.
Yeah, you look great.
Yeah, thank you. I feel on top of the world. No, I've been binging this podcast, Slow Burn, that is from Slate Media. And it's about the Watergate, like basically the unfolding of the Watergate news story, which, you know, I knew the basics of the Watergate story, but this basically looks back at news stories as they were happening and, you know, audio from the story as they were happening and talks to people who were there about like what the experience was like as lived, because it's really easy to look back at huge news stories and be like, well, that was, you know, a big deal. It was momentous when those burglars were caught. But when the 7 people were arraigned in a courtroom in D.C., like the day after they were caught breaking into the Democratic National headquarters with tape recording material and bugging material, the only reason Bob Woodward was there was because he was covering the local news desk and like picked it up on a police blotter. Like nobody covered it for the first few months. And even the Washington Post, which was like on the trail, was widely believed to be just doing a liberal hatchet job on Nixon. Nobody believed that Nixon had anything to do with it. Yeah, they basically thought that because most of the story, like it happened months before the election. So a lot of the reporting on it, people thought was them trying to help McGovern, the guy that Nixon was running against.
Right. Didn't Forrest Gump snitch on them?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah. Good old boy from Bayou La Batterie.
Right.
That wasn't that. Yeah. Wasn't he like looking across? Cause like Nixon's like, you stay at the Watergate. And then he saw the people with the flashlights.
Some men with some flashlights.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, Forrest Gump, we can't escape him.
The reason that they actually got caught is they kept taping the door handle so that it wouldn't lock behind them. And like the security guard was like, weird. That's weird. There's tape there. And then he came back by for like his next round and there was like tape there again. He was like, what the fuck? Like they weren't even, they were just like bad at their job. Even though like one of them was a CIA agent.
Oh, really?
What were they looking for specifically?
So they weren't looking for anything. They were changing out like surveillance material. They were tapping the Democratic National Committee. So the other thing that I hadn't fully appreciated. So Nixon ends up winning that next election that he was tapping them like in preparation for in a landslide by like, I think, 23 percentage points in the overall vote. Yeah. McGovern won a single state. So it was just this like all out ass kicking. And I had always taken it as Nixon was this like crazy paranoid guy who did this despite the fact that he was going to win regardless. Like there was no stopping him, obviously, because of how much he won by. So he wanted McGovern to win the Democratic primary because he knew he would destroy him. McGovern had like, he was sort of the Bernie of his day, but even less broad support.
And his legacy still haunts Democrats today of like the McGovern effect.
Right.
Like, don't go too far left now.
Right. And so he wanted McGovern to come out of the primary. The guy who was favored and who Nixon really didn't want was this guy, Ed Muskie from Maine. And the reason Ed Muskie didn't win, and he was like definitely more centrist and had a much better shot at beating Nixon, the reason he didn't win is because the Nixon campaign, the committee to reelect the president, which was acronymed as CREEP, the reason that Muskie didn't win was because the Nixon campaign like fucked with him. They did like all sorts of, you know, shady shit in addition to, you know, tapping the DNC headquarters and like knowing everything they were about to do before they did it. They would like go through the hotel hallway of where the Muskie campaign was staying. And, you know, back then you left your shoes out to be shined by the hotel. They would just pick up all their shoes and throw them in a dumpster. And like, so the guys would just like not have shoes the next day and be late for shit.
Fucking dick move. That's funny.
The night before the New Hampshire primary, they called like everyone in New Hampshire at midnight and like spoke with black sense and talked to the people about how Ed Muskie was going to like help bring black people like rights back and stuff that they knew would scare white New Hampshire voters. And it was successful in the election. And then they sent a letter to the editor in a New Hampshire newspaper that was like really shady and like talked shit about his wife being like a loose woman who like, you know, smoked cigarettes and was like unladylike and just like really shady shit. And so Muskie like was so pissed. He had a press conference where he was like, if that coward publisher was next to me, he should be glad he's not next to me because I kick his ass. Like, and then he like broke down crying because they had like fucked with him so much. And so that like the guy who would have had a shot against Nixon, he like psychologically fucked with until he broke down in front of people. And that's like why he ended up running against McGovern, who was the worst possible candidate for the Democrats to run. And Nixon knew it. And then the other thing that is just interesting, I mean, there are a lot of interesting parallels. Like during the course of the events, the Republicans were being really obstructionist. There were a couple of times when they almost successfully killed the story. Like there was a Texas politician who like immediately, he had some experience with Nixon and he like immediately was like, you know, this seems like it goes all the way to the top when the guys were arrested. And so he put together an investigation. They had all the leads that Woodward and Bernstein had, and Republicans in the Nixon administration successfully shut it down by just like some bullshit excuse saying that like it wouldn't be fair to the seven robbers because their case was still being prosecuted. And then there was like a Senate hearing that Republicans tried to like make about all the things that like Democrats did that were like unfair to Republicans.
What about isms?
Right, exactly. Oh. What about isms? The only reason that Watergate ended up becoming a thing is because the head of that Senate committee was like this respected Democrat who was also sort of a conservative racist. And so he had like both sides kind of supporting him. And he was able to like keep it on track and like block the Republicans from, you know, making it about, you know, what about this? Well, they also did that. So,
like aggressively just pivoting away from like the facts of like, well, there's all this. I'm like, can I talk about something the Democrats did?
Right. Okay. So there's a lot of details that, you know, as it's happening, people, there's also episode about people who are standing by Nixon like during the investigation and are like, the liberal media is just trying to take him down, and like he just wants to be, like, you know, be the law and order president was right. Their his term for, you know, basically being racist and a lot of, you know, blue collar working class people, white people were all about that and thought that the whole Watergate investigation was just a conspiracy cooked up by the left-wing media. And then they thought that until they, you know, the facts became too much.
Mm.
So it's interesting to see as somebody at the time would have viewed it and wonder how, like, the modern climate would have reacted to some of these things. Like, is there a possibility that something in the Russia investigation could be too much for Trump supporters to ignore, you know?
Here's a dumb question. Was Gerald Ford Nixon's vice president?
His vice president for most of the time was Spiro Agnew, but he got caught up in the whole scandal and had to resign, and then Gerald Ford took over. But Ford, like, pops up a couple times in the story of Watergate, just kind of being an apologist for Nixon, but, you know, being a little bit more outside of the Nixon administration than some of the other people who got taken down.
Mm.
So speaking of, you know, our present day Watergate, there's been not that many developments, but a couple, right? Trump yesterday said he's willing to talk to Mueller under oath.
Under oath. He was leaving John Kelly's office, and like there were some reporters out there, and they caught him like with a little impromptu little back and forth conversation with the press where he clearly just was freestyling doing Trump jazz, which is very frightening to all his handlers because you don't know what tune he's going to play. And yeah, when he was asked about the Mueller investigation, he's like, oh yeah, I'll speak to them. I'll speak to them under oath.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll speak to FBI under oath. Clearly, there's a couple things he's mistaking here. First, I think he just doesn't know what testify under oath means, that you can't fucking lie. But also that there's even a distinction of being under oath and lying versus lying to the FBI. Mm-hmm. They're still felonies. They're just different statutes. So you cannot lie to the FBI, even if you're not under oath. And if you were under oath, that means you would be probably most likely in this case in front of a grand jury. So I don't think he wants to be in front of a grand jury with like Bob Mueller, who is a very seasoned prosecutor, like asking the questions, because as we know, I don't even know if this guy can keep his facts straight like in his own head.
Right.
So like, and you think about too, like the amount of preparation like Trump's lawyers would have to do just to be like, okay, if the line of questioning goes this way, like this is what we're doing. He doesn't even have the mental bandwidth to be like, okay, so if he starts talking about George Papadopoulos, like we're going to do this. Nah, I think he's just going to say whatever the fuck he wants and it could be a real problem. The other thing is that, like, I think right after Ty Cobb was having to, like, just clean up the mess and was like, oh, he said all that in a very hurried state, so, you know, we don't know. That's not exactly what we want to do. So it was basically a very odd moment. And then along with that, he also kind of made reference to that he thought of a path to citizenship for some of the people under DACA, like 10 to 12 years. I mean, I think that's probably most likely coming out of the immigration plan that he's going to unveil Monday. But really, I think what was interesting is just the fact that he was kept talking. He was like, well, I bet Hillary wasn't under oath with the FBI or whatever. Like, he's still obsessed with her. That I'm sure if Robert Mueller was just like, you know, Obama and Hillary Clinton had some of the best relationships with the Russians. I don't know if you knew that, Mr. President. He'd be like, oh, yeah, well, I'm actually – I've been talking to them since 2013 about me becoming president.
Right.
Like, I feel like you could bait him into just coming clean with it if you just use this Obama and Hillary comparison, because he is fucking obsessed still. So it will be very, very interesting. And I think along with what you're saying, like, there's been a lot of obstructionist sort of whatabouting and all kinds of straight-up conspiracy bullshit that's been happening with the GOP trying to discredit the FBI, because the FBI clearly has a lot of – information that could be very troubling for Donald Trump. Like, namely, there was the whole release the memo thing where, like, Devin Nunes was like, I got this memo that has all
that I wrote
that's like telling you about all the crazy shit the FBI is doing, and everyone's like, release the memo, and he's like, well, okay, I'll only show it to House Republicans. And then, like, Senate Republicans are like the Senate Intelligence Committee was like, hey, can we see it? And he was like, nah. And then, like, basically, he was only going to show it to people who didn't have the same intelligence information he did to be able to be like, dude, this is all wrong.
Right.
Like, I've seen the same things you've seen, and you can't draw these conclusions from that shit. So it was so transparent that now he's kind of, like, totally backpedaling on releasing the memo, which makes sense because it was just a fucking weird distraction the whole time.
Yeah, a distraction from the fact that there was a secret society. Republican Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, I believe, came out and pointed out that there was a text message, I believe, where one FBI agent talked to the other about having a secret society meeting.
Yeah.
And so therefore, ergo, they are probably had a secret anti-Trump society where they were planning the takedown of the White House.
Overthrow the government.
It's all happening. So here's Ron Johnson being questioned about that on NPR, because when you see the entire context of that text message, it appears that they were saying that completely in jest.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. It was the day after Trump was voted, like won the election, and they were like, oh, I guess we'll have to have a secret society meeting. Right. And they just went, secret. Oh, here we go.
Yeah,
right. Comet pizza.
Right.
Secret society. So today he was, or maybe early this morning, he was on NPR, asked about these comments that he made to Bret Baier. So first, let's just hear when Ron Johnson came out swinging with the secret society shit.
We have an informant that's talking about a group that were holding secret meetings off-site. There's so much smoke here. There's so much suspicion.
Let's stop there. A secret society, a secret meetings off-site of the Justice Department.
Correct.
And you have an informant saying that?
Yes.
Is there anything more about that?
No, we have to dig into it.
The
way he said yes. And you have two informants? Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Then NPR was like, hey, do you know that was like a joke, right?
Right. Based on a text.
Yeah, so this is him talking to someone that isn't on Fox News.
Right.
Okay, well, you also focused on two words from one of the texts, which was a secret society.
Other people brought that up.
You suggested this might mean a secret group within the FBI holding meetings off-site, and you went on to say this could mean corruption at the highest levels of the FBI. That reference may have been a joke. I'm just wondering if you feel you might have jumped to conclusions here.
No, all I was connecting is I have all kinds of people come in front of our committee giving us information, and I had heard that there were off-site meetings. So I was just connecting the dots there. It could be a joke. Those off-site meetings could be completely harmless.
Something
he didn't mention on Fox.
Fucking sticking your fucking chest out on Fox. Be like, fucking secret societies.
Right.
And then it's like, they could be a joke, be completely harmless.
Right. But that was like months later, right?
What?
Oh, wait. No. That interview was the next day.
Right.
So absolutely nothing had changed.
And the other thing, too, I just want to bring up, like, with Trump, how quickly it was so transparent he had something to hide when asked, like, will you, speak to Robert? I was like, oh, I'll go under oath.
Right.
Like, really, really bluffing there.
Yeah. The second that his lawyers talk to him, he's like, well, my lawyers will have to lawyer. Thing.
Yeah, my attorneys.
Go.
Maybe I shouldn't do it. I don't know. I can't imagine him. If Trump is able to actually pull off not fully melting down in front of Robert Mueller and self-perjuring himself, like, then maybe I'll believe that he has some kind of – there is some hidden mental capacity in there.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, the way this would play out was – him just thinking he's talking to somebody that, like, is under him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he can just say whatever the fuck he wants to without, like, understanding that he is still – this is a, like, criminal thing. This isn't like a, hey, like, you didn't wire my unit in your building for electricity, blah, blah, blah. Like, this is, like, criminal shit.
Yeah.
Like, this is a very different matter.
Roger Stone, one of Trump's oldest and strongest advocates, who also has a tattoo of Richard Nixon on his back, because that's the kind of guy he is.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
He does?
Yeah, yeah. Of Nixon's face. I think he just thinks he's handsome. That's all. It probably has nothing to do with his politics. But he – any relation, by the way?
No.
Roger Stone? No,
not that I'm aware of.
Anyways, he has said for a while now that – Trump going in front of Mueller and just like having a conversation with Mueller would be a quote suicide mission. Like he knows Trump well enough to be like, yeah, no, that's my friend. He's not smart enough to handle this. Like that would not be good. We should not let that happen.
Because he's being his handlers. This is the double edged sword of having all these sycophants around you because they are gaslighting him into thinking everything's okay, everything's going to be okay, and this isn't really a problem.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I called it our Watergate earlier, that it could entirely turn out to be just him fucking himself by not being bright or honest enough to, like, handle the questioning. And it might not be a thing where he was, actually gaining all that much of an advantage from his, any connection to Russia. But
Or if it's the obstruction charge, too, because that was another interesting thing he said yesterday, because the first time he used the word obstruction.
Right.
Because normally he's like, there's no collusion, no collusion, no collusion. And then yesterday he's like, there's no collusion whatsoever. There's no obstruction whatsoever. So clearly someone tipped him off. Like, there's another thing, though, too, you might need to be worried about is the fact that you may have obstructed justice when you fired James Comey.
Right. He said is it obstruction for me to fight back and fight back against this investigation?
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, it's like, yes.
It is.
Yeah, dude.
How is that not obstruction?
Right? Yeah, exactly.
He's working out the definition of obstruction, like, in public for all of us to see.
It's like, oh, what, I can't do by any means necessary to get the heat off my friends?
Right. So...
stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
But in true Trump fashion, they're like, oh, when do you think you'll meet with him? And we all know what the preloaded answer for any duration of time with him, 2 to 3 weeks.
Right.
Everything is 2 to 3 weeks with him. So
yeah,
that was probably a total lie, too.
The other big difference, I'm pretty sure the Democrats held at least one of the houses at the time of the Watergate investigation, right. And they are kind of completely powerless. So I'm not holding my breath for any... thing interesting to happen with this investigation or with Trump's actual job status until that changes. But we shall see. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. Mm-hmm. We're just looking at Roger Stone's back. Dave actually told us it's actually his dad.
But yeah.
He didn't.
Little pops.
Felt a little. Put him in an awkward position.
Wait, he looks like, you know when you fly in the magazine that's in the front pocket of the thing, and there's always that one old-ass doctor who's like, I look like I'm 26 years old. Yeah, and right. He's like, shirt off, like, that's like what Roger Stone's physique is like. Like that weird airplane magazine buff doctor. Yo,
right.
Of course that's Trump's best friend.
Yeah, there's a picture of him shirtless smoking a cigar. He's definitely HGH-ing up. It's funny, the other elderly conservative who loves to be photographed with his shirt off is the Dilbert guy, Scott Adams. And, like, he doesn't look that good. he's like, yeah, well, do you think a 55-year-old would look like this? And it's like, yeah, that's about what a 55-year-old who works out would look like. But anyways, fuck
this
Scott
little
Adams.
Nerd.
Yeah. Dude, Scott Adams is fascinating. He, like, at a certain point lost his voice. Not like a physical thing happened. He just stopped being able to speak.
Like a neurological
thing?
Yes.
Or I don't know. Like nobody has explained it really. He just like stopped talking. He's a very strange guy. He also, his house is built to be shaped like Dilbert's head.
It is?
Yeah. No, Scott Adams is. We should just do a whole week on Scott Adams.
Dilbert week.
Dilbert week. But first, before any of that, we need to talk about what's going on in Russia right now.
Yeah, they are trying to, you know, take down our democracy.
Right. that, and they're also filming some pretty dope viral videos.
Oh.
So, you know, we generally, the image of Russia that we get is that everybody is loyal to Putin, and it's this, you know, a bunch of hackers doing the bidding of their iron-fisted leader. And, you know, another thing that we hear about is how homophobic Russia is. I know people who visited there who, you know, it was a Friday night, and Putin's biker gang, who like is like secretly his paramilitary force, was going around like rounding up and beating up gay people in Russia. Just like that's how publicly homophobic the culture is over there. Well, apparently, like, they don't get buy-in on that culture from all generations. And, you know, younger Russians are actually sane. And they're like, well, this is crazy. Like, and so a group of flight students at Russian pilot college, aviation college, the Ulyanovsk Institute of Civil Aviation, filmed themselves as like a bunch of dudes in their underwear, like twerking. And one dude was like deep throating a banana over and over again.
Deep throating like the shit out of a banana.
Champ. And it went viral immediately. And, you know, the public outcry from the, you know, totally not state controlled media was like, these people should be ashamed of themselves. They're a disgrace to the aviation industry. But then, like,
and then were they saying, like, they're probably gay.
Right. But then all these other colleges started filming their own version of this video. And, like, so now this is, like, the hot shit to do in Russian college.
It's a new Harlem Shake.
Right. It's the Harlem Shake of Russian colleges, which, by the way, I suggest you watch them just because they're fun videos, but also because you get an image of like what Russian college looks like.
Yeah, or at least this dorm.
Yeah, the dorm of the nearby agricultural college that uploaded the second twerking video looks like a like haunted abandoned hospital. Yeah.
Like, it looks like the set of The Ring.
It really does. It's like, damn. That's college in Russia.
But it's just wild, though, too, like, you know, because they were wearing, like, bondage outfits. Like, a couple of people had, like, gear that you're like, oh, okay, this might be your thing. But, like, because Russia is so homophobic, like, I can totally see why this kind of thing is going to happen, because it's treated as such a taboo, that suddenly you get all these dudes together. Like, the one where the guy's, like, rubbing each other with shaving cream, like, some of the videos do a really funny job of, like, escalating, like, how homoerotic the behavior is.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just shout-outs to you guys doing your thing.
Seriously.
Being young men, figuring it out, having a good time.
I'm always amused by, like, frat boy culture, like, how far they're willing to take the joke just for the joke.
Yeah, right.
Just, ha-ha, we're not gay.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, but, yo, kiss with more tongue, though, man.
Suck that guy's dick.
Yeah,
so,
right.
I don't know.
Exactly.
Got him.
This is just so funny to me that it starts off being like, this is unbelievable, and then just spreads. Like,
yeah.
They're like, you know what? We're going to do the satisfaction challenge.
Memes in Russia don't fuck around. There is a meme from probably like 5 to 10 years ago that we covered on Cracked about, like, there was some photograph of a guy hanging out his window by one hand because the husband had just come home and, like, found him in bed. So that was, like, an actual photograph that got taken. And then, like, it became a meme to be photographed hanging out of windows, like, by one arm. And, like, that was, like, the cool, like, fun meme to be taken. They're pretty, pretty hardcore.
I will play with my life.
Right.
For the likes.
Exactly. And finally, so we don't hear much about cool sponsored content. In fact, the Intercept podcast today talked about how the brands are going directly to the journalists and they're submitting articles without telling the publications that they're sponsored by these things. So the journalist themselves is getting like the sponsorship money, and it's just being published by like the Huffington Post or, you know, Fast Company and outlets like this that are just, you know, in the bulk publishing business. And, you know, then when you Google like whether that product is good or not, you go to, you get the result of this article that looks, for all intents and purposes, like it's totally not sponsored.
Wait, and don't they have to disclose that it's sponsored content?
Who?
The journalist?
The journalist? Yeah, I mean, ethically, yes, they should, but because but journalists don't make any money, like, because the Huffington Post was like, yeah, we don't pay our journalists. It's right. Like, but we give them a great outlet for lots of people right. to see.
And they cut to every person who went to college is like, you know, I wrote for the Huffington Post. Right. I'm like, yeah, right. And I'm in Wikipedia, bro. Right.
Yeah, so that's an example of bad sponsored content. But Burger King just created a video that I'm actually okay with. It's about net neutrality, and it uses Whoppers as a metaphor for net neutrality and how net neutrality works.
Yeah.
Where basically, like, they had people who ordered Whoppers, like, wait 20 minutes for their Whopper while other people were getting faster Whoppers. And they were like, oh, they paid for the high-speed Whopper package.
Right, and then the guy's like, so there's, like, fast lanes for the food or right. something? Yeah. And he's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's like, well, how much to get mine now? $25.99.
Right.
And they're like, what? The amazing thing is, like, there are a couple people who – my favorite kind of person is someone who gets upset at a fast food restaurant, yeah. like, mm-hmm. at the people.
Right.
This one guy, they're like – he's like, well, how long do I have to wait? He's like, about 15, 20 minutes for the package you got. And he's like – he, like, mimes, like, ripping his hair. And he's like, I – don't, this is not good. Like, a few people, you get fucking pissed about hearing that their Whopper is not coming in time.
Yeah, one guy says, this is the worst thing I've ever heard of, which he apparently is a Holocaust denier or something.
Because this is the worst thing I have ever heard of.
Right. But it's a good video. I think it makes sense of what a world without net neutrality could look like, and it ends with a shot at our boy Ajit Pai, who at the very end of the video, it has the king drinking out of an oversized Reese's peanut butter cup mug. That's
his
like
trademark bit.
His trademark. Yeah. So Ajit Pai, for people who haven't listened to every single one of our episodes, is the FCC chairman who is basically killing net neutrality, but he fancies himself a comedian, and yeah. his funny thing that he does is he brings out a coffee mug that is like
joke size.
It's like a huge coffee mug, and like takes a sip out of it, and is like,
that's pretty funny.
Yeah, it is funny.
No, like, yeah, or he does it as a reveal. Like, he'll come be talking at a podium, like, yeah, blah blah blah, and then just be like,
look how big my coffee is.
Yeah, and then put it down crazy. Like, damn, man, I'm glad prop comedy is back.
I got some other ideas too.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that's his giant mug.
All right. That is going to do it for today's show. Dave, it's been a blast having you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. Where can people find you, follow you?
Twitter is at Dave Stone Comedy. And yeah, Boogie Monster Podcast, me and Cockanane. New episodes every Tuesday.
And what's the show about?
It's supposed to be about conspiracy theories and paranormal and supernatural, like Bigfoot, aliens, stuff like that. Uh-huh. But usually we just wind up talking about fried chicken and domestic beer.
Nice.
But yeah, we attempt to tackle a new paranormal topic every week, but sometimes we don't really get to it sometimes.
What's your favorite chicken product that is made by like a national chain for our national
listeners? First of all, I won't get into my disdain for, I talk about conspiracies, how like Big Chicken is trying to convince us that white meat chicken is somehow premium.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm a dark meat guy.
Thank you.
The leg and the thigh, that's where it's at. This whole all white meat chicken, who gives a shit?
It gets dry.
Yeah, dry ass.
Dry as shit.
Take your dry ass hormone ridden breast elsewhere.
Yeah.
That's a weird sentence to say. But I'm a big Popeyes guy.
Popeyes.
Around here. They don't have it out here, but in the southeast where I'm from, there's a regional chain called Bojangles.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Bojangles is insane.
Really good.
The chicken's good. Biscuits, breakfast all day.
You like Zaxby's?
Zaxby's solid, yeah. Mm-hmm. I like Zaxby's. But, yeah, around here, probably Popeyes as far as national stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So, I took his outro into a whole chicken conversation because I love food. You know?
Yeah. No, yeah, me too. People need to know.
People have to know.
Miles, where can people follow you?
I might be following Dave to fucking Howlin' Vegas, man. Because if the wait is under an hour, yo, I have nightmares about that place because I want it so bad. But everyone I know has to go for hours.
Have you been? Have you
no, I have not. And I just, everyone comes back and like, it's worth it, man. They look like they saw God.
So good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
But anyway, yeah, if you're interested in social media, you can just find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
You can follow me at Jack_OBRIEN. You can follow us at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We are at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We have a Facebook fan page. You know how search boxes work. Just type the name of our show and you'll find us. And we have a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to articles and other source material that we used for research for this episode. And that is going to do it for today's show. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then. Bye.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.